Well, anybody struggle trying to figure out where to sit this morning? By the way, kudos to the setup. And I don't mean the setup team, the teams. Oh my goodness. What a great job getting everything ready for today. And the staff and everybody, so good. And William told me to open up like this today. I'm gonna get my directions. We're here, we're not there, and he's nowhere. Actually, he is somewhere. He's on his family vacation down at the beach, which is a well-deserved, well-needed vacation. So he's done such a great job in leadership, and so we're happy that he can have some time to get away and to get refreshed. Well, this morning, we're going to be, as we look around, you know, we have lots of distractions that we can all ignore, but we have baskets, we have posters, we have a scoreboard. We're somewhere. Anyways, a scoreboard, and it's not on countdown for the sermon. And so we have all this stuff, but you know what? None of that matters. We can worship God wherever we are, at any time, and in any place, because He is always with us. Amen. So this morning, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 9. And in this epistle, we're reminded that Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And so we would think that he might be writing out to others, asking them to help and to do these things for him. But instead, he's focused on writing out to his dear friends in Philippi, concerned about them, to encourage them to have great peace in their hearts that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, to have that peace of God within us, we need to be focused on the right stuff. And when I think of the word focused, I think of, anybody ever here gone target shooting before? You know? And what do? When you get your weapon out and you just kind of go, well, and you just fire off into nowhere, right? Of course not. What do? We zero in on the bullseye. Now, we might miss it sometimes, we might hit it sometimes, but we focus and zero in. And Paul is telling us here, for us to know the peace of God within us, we need to zero in on the right stuff. So let us read from Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing letter that you've had written for us to read, to study, and to learn from, and to impact our hearts, Lord. So do indeed teach us your truth so that we can walk in your ways and unite our hearts that we might fear, honor, and reverence your good and perfect holy name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Paul starts off in verse 4, says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Well, when he's talking about why do we rejoice always? Well, there's a lot of reasons in there. But if you look at the last part of verse 5, it says, the Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is with us. He's at hand. And remember, William so wonderfully talked about that last week when he talked about the pillar being there with the Israelites as they were exiting from Egypt. And so he was there, he was leading, and he was guiding them. And when I think about that, it made me think of Psalm 23 in the beginning, where it says, the Lord is, it's not might or ought to be, but the Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, therefore, I shall not want. Because he's with me, he's guiding me, he's shepherding my heart as I walk through this life. And so Paul says that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And rejoicing really in the Lord is an overarching theme of this great epistle. 8 times the word joy is used in these 4 short chapters. An additional 9 times the word rejoice is used. So you add those up, I can do that math. You add up those 2 and you get 17. So 17 times in these 4 short chapters, Paul is referencing joy. And not only does he reference here, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And so I was curious about that Greek word, and so I looked it up. And you know what it means? It means always. You know, there's no loopholes. There's no exceptions. There's no times when we don't have to. We are to have constantly a heart of joy within us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And it's not based on the circumstances that we're in the midst of. See, our joy is not like an emotion that goes up and goes down. Joy in the Lord is a settled thing based on who the Lord is. And a few things of, A, what he's done for us. First, in the past. And in the past, he saved us from our sin. That's worth rejoicing. We rejoice with him thinking about the present. Because he's with us. He's shepherding our hearts. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's with us always. Sanctifying us with the power of his Spirit. And then third, we can rejoice in him because of the future. Because we know one day, when this life ends, if we're trusting in Jesus, we get to go to glory. We get to go to paradise and spend all eternity with the Lord God Almighty. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And I was thinking about that. It reminded me of Sandy's amazing mom. My mother-in-law was just off the charts. So, but later on, she started doing poorly, and so she, when she came home from the hospital, she moved in with us so that we could nurse her back to health. But instead of nursing her back to health, her health continued to decline. And one day after about 9-10 weeks, it got really bad, so we took her back to the doctor, and he examined her, and he pushed on her leg, and you know, when you push on your leg, it springs back. Hers didn't. And the doctor immediately had a great look of concern. And he said, take her to the ER. So off to the ER we went, and they did an ultrasound on her leg. And they said that basically her femoral vein was one giant blood clot. And it would be just a matter of time before one of those blood clots would break loose, and that would be the end. He suggested some heroic measures that they could take that might possibly extend her life. And then when he got done, he said, so what do you want to do? And my mother-in-law, excuse me, I got a cold. My mother-in-law looked up with a little bit of a smile and said, I just want to go home. She didn't mean to her house. She didn't mean to our house. She meant she wanted to go home with the Lord. And see, she had joy not in her circumstance. See, godly joy is not based on our circumstances. Godly joy is based on knowing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and she knew that. And she knew that soon she would be going home to be with her Savior. And she did about 4 days later. But what a wonderful woman with such great faith in the Lord that gave her always this sense of joy. So maybe for us, do we ever struggle having joy? Well, we have struggles being happy, because happiness comes and happiness goes. But joy in the Lord is a settling stability thing within us. Okay? So maybe it'd be a good idea for us each day to pray before our feet hit the floor, or before you have your first cup of coffee or orange juice or whatever you do in the morning, but make it a part of our daily prayer life to say, Lord, I don't know what this day is going to bring my way. I don't know what the ups and downs are going to be, but I do know this, you are with me. So may your Holy Spirit be at work within me to bring me your peace, your good godly peace, through having joy in what you've done, no matter what circumstances I'm in. And I think if we pray that every day the Lord would remind us that he's with us, that he cares for us, he's shepherding our hearts, I think if we do that every day, it'll make a difference in the way we live. So if we want to know that peace of God within, first of all, we need to focus on joy, but then we also need to focus on prayer. And as we go to the end of 5 again, it says, the Lord is at hand. And then the next words are literally from the Greek. Some of the English translations change it, but the Greek literally reads, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. So as we think about that, anxious here means to stew or fret or about something that we have really no control over, and it or over things that might possibly happen in the future. But sometimes we have anxieties raging at us even in the present. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Well, how do we do that? Well, the antidote for anxiety is, what's his next word? But in everything, all the events of life, especially those things that cause anxiety, but in everything through prayer and supplication. See, the antidote for anxiety is to hit our knees and to pray and turn things over for the Lord. Otherwise, we're not going to have that. The inner peace is going to be like, oh, you know. So we need to hit our knees when anxieties creep up on us. And when we do, we can remember Psalm 46:10, because the Lord told the Israelites, he said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then as we read earlier today, Romans 8:28, for we know that God is working all things together for the good, for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. So Paul can say, be anxious for nothing with prayer and supplication. And if anybody had a reason to be anxious, it might have been Paul, right? All those shipwrecks, all those beatings, all those things. But he's the one that's saying, and notice he's saying this, not sitting on the beaches of the Mediterranean, slurping on a lemonade or an iced tea. He's held prisoner, chained 24/7, 365 to a Roman guard. And yet he can say, rejoice in the Lord always, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication. And then his next word is, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. See, we have so much to be thankful for, but when you think of Thanksgiving, or at least I do, when I first think of Thanksgiving, I think of the worldly stuff around me that I should be thankful for. But then I got thinking about, you know what? I really ought to have a deeper sense of thanksgiving on who the Lord is and what he's done and who he's doing. So from a spiritual nature, What am I thankful for? Well, A, I'm thankful that he knows me, that he loves me, that he cares for me. And you can take that list. That might be a great family lunch conversation today. Or what spiritual things can we be thankful for the Lord? Because when we're in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we're going to see that's going to lead us to the peace of God. So with thanksgiving, and it tells us, let us make our request unto the Lord. And what's the result of being anxious, of praying, having thanksgiving? It tells us in verse 7, the peace of God. See, the peace of God. The peace of God doesn't mean peace in the circumstances around us. Peace is an inner thing that gives us that transcendent calm no matter what is taking place. Just like mom, when she was laying there, she had joy, she had peace. Not because of, but because of knowing the Lord. See? So the peace of God, and what does it do? It surpasses all understanding. It's a transcendent, like I just said, it's a transcendent calmness that can come over us, and it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we go back and think into 5, the Lord is at hand, be anxious for nothing, pray, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, it's all about Jesus. But see, there's things that we need to do and to come to him. My son several years ago, he was a youth guy too, but he said, he heard this verse taught like stop, drop, and roll. You ever heard that before? When anxiety hits, we have to stop, or actually, stop, drop, roll, that would be fire, right? So when the fire of anxiety hits, the first thing we got to do is stop. Anybody ever felt like you're on fire before? Stop! Okay? But how do you stop? Well, you got to stop by dropping to your knees in prayer. So stop. Drop. And then we can roll. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus. And oh, by the way, when the anxiety returns in seconds, who identifies, or in minutes, or in hours, or whenever, when that anxiety comes back again, stop, drop, and roll. And there'd be days my knees would be bruised because things going on. But, see, the Lord wants us to know his peace, to have his peace within us. So stop, drop, and roll. And that made me think of a great friend of mine, Joe Johnston. He's a retired Army Ranger, retired as a colonel. And he said several times while he served in the service, he would have that sense of calm, that peace come across him. And he said one particular circumstance really stood out. He was in a helicopter flying along with a general, and all of a sudden the ice storm broke out. Anybody knows anything about helicopters? If ice starts building up on the rotor blades, Joe said, typically it drops out of the sky like a rock. And so he said, so it started to build up, and suddenly as the ice began to build up, he said the helicopter pitched over on its side. And he said, in that moment, he just knew that he was going to die. And he said, all of a sudden, that greatest peace just swept across me. He says, because I knew of Jesus, and I knew I was going to go to heaven. So indeed, the helicopter dropped, and it crashed. But miraculously, the rotor blades didn't keep spinning and tear the helicopter apart. It didn't explode into fire. And Joe survived, obviously, because he told me the story. But But see, you know, when you're in faith in Christ and when you're trusting in Him and not trusting in the worldly events around us, there's an option of living without anxiety by stopping, dropping, and rolling in His strength, in His comfort, and in His love, because He does care for us deeply. And when we do that, we can live out what it says in 1 Peter 5:7, where Peter says, cast all your anxieties upon Him. And then he gives us the reason why. Because He cares for you. See, remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's watching over me, He's caring for me, and He's always with me, 24/7, 365, no matter what's taking place. And so, if we're going to find the peace of God within us, we need to focus here on joy, we need to focus on prayer. And the next one, I put down discernment in my notes. And when I think of discernment, the reason I use that is discernment to me has always meant knowing being able to identify the good from the bad and then acting upon the good. Okay? And so here, Paul is pointing us to several virtues that are of the Lord. And he says this, he says, whatever, verse 8, the eight virtues are all godly virtues, and they say, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, what's the last words? Set your minds on these things. See, it's not just, oh, there's the words. It's set. It means focus. It means draw it in. Discern the good from the bad, and then draw from the good and live according to good. So we put the good stuff in. We take the bad stuff out, right? I could sing that to the Hokey Pokey. Sorry, I have moments. Anyways, so we do that. So we picture, maybe we can picture our hearts like a big old tank, a gas tank. And whatever, what are we putting into that gas tank? If we're putting ugly stuff in that gas tank, we need to get rid of it and be gone with it. And if there's ugly stuff in there, we need to pull it and chuck it and find a trash can and get rid of it. But what we need to do is make sure we're putting the good stuff into our hearts. Because the Bible tells us repeatedly, what we put into our hearts, what we put into our minds, is what we are becoming. So we have to be careful, intentional, about what we're putting in our hearts. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is just, and so on and so forth. Make sure we're putting the right stuff in, and then we'll live the right stuff out. So we got to ask, what are we doing? What are we focusing on? You know, and it's really a question that we need to do. And sometimes we kind of get filled up with the wrong stuff. And it made me think of, you know, if you get a glass, it's got dirt or something in it, you're not going to drink that, right? But if you get another glass or pitcher over here that's unending, and you pour that into the glass that's got the dirt in there, what's going to happen to the dirt? Well, it's going to begin to wash out, right? It's going to wash out more and more of the ugly stuff and be filled up with the good stuff. And that's what we need to do inside here, is we need to fill it up with the good stuff. And then Paul tells us in the next line, he talks a little bit, whatever you've seen, heard, so on and so forth from thee. He says, practice these things. See, it's not enough to just know the right thing to do, but we have to do the right thing. See, he said, think about these things, focus on these things, and then put them into action. And what are we putting into action? We're putting into action to have a heart of joy, to be focused on joy, to be focused on prayer, and be focused on the good stuff and filling that up in our hearts. And so when we do that, to have that peace, we need to do those things. And when I was getting ready for this, I saw something that Charles Wesley once penned. He wrote this: "I rest beneath the Almighty shade. My griefs expire, my troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my whole heart is stayed, will keep me still in perfect peace." See, and that's what Paul ended that with. When we do these things, when we put them into action, his peace will fill us up. Okay? So may we always be focused on joy, prayer, and the good stuff. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being the shepherd of our souls. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, as we go from this place and as we live this life, there's a lot of things that come our way, a lot of things that fly at us and unexpected things. And yet, Lord, we know that we can have that internal peace that comes from you when we set our minds and we set our hearts on the right stuff. And here, Lord, we thank you that Paul taught us to zero in on joy and prayer and discerning and looking at the good stuff. So thank you, Lord, for this word. May it move in our hearts. And if anyone's here that hasn't come to know Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would draw them to you this day. Amen.